I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to The Fan. Lori Rubenson here with you. And the LA Rams beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady and on a last-second kick. And it would have been, under normal circumstances, the story of the day, but we had an epic game at night. But still, a game with so many storylines. And to break it down, we bring in Greg Beecham from the Associated Press, covering the LA sports scene, including the Rams. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Hey, Lori, I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I imagine the Rams and Matthew Stafford and the people who traded away a few draft picks for him are breathing a big sigh of relief right now. How much did this game and this win, how significant was this for the Rams and Matthew Stafford?
I feel like that last drive, I really epitomized why the Rams traded for Matthew Stafford, because he's done that 43 times in the fourth quarter and overtime in his career, leading a game-winning drive like that. He delivers that smooth veteran presence that you saw. He also has that gambler's instinct that made him confident enough to load up and say, let's try this and throw that 44-yard bomb straight downfield when he saw Cooper Kupp breaking open. Because the deal with that from the Rams' perspective was that it's not that Jared Goff is a bad quarterback, because he's not. He led that team to the Super Bowl. But the way Sean McVay described the move to us 10 months ago was that he felt Matthew Stafford was just a level better than Goff in everything from his arm strength to his sophistication in breaking down a defense, to his experience in tough situations. That's why they made a move like that, and it's clearly paid off today. I feel like today is, in a certain way, validation of that move. The Rams are one win from the Super Bowl now, and you can't realistically say, you ask a whole lot more from your quarterback than that to get you to this stage. You can't say, I make the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl, or it's a failure. They obviously need to beat the Niners, and they need to move on. But this felt like a game the Rams would have lost in 2020 or 2019. And to me, that justifies a lot of what they did in the offseason.
And you mentioned the big strike to Cooper Kupp, 44 yards there. How is it, you know, when you watch this game unfold, is it just, you know, help me understand how Cooper Kupp, the top wide receiver, the Triple Crown winner in the regular season this year, how does he get left in single coverage there with a safety? Is that a head scratcher to you?
It seems like I heard Bruce Arians talking about it briefly post game. It seems like they had a blitz on that not all the guys on the field knew was going to happen. Is that what you heard as well? Because I heard them mention that. It certainly was what it looked like. It looked like a mistake in the second level of defense led to single coverage on the third level of the defense. And particularly with a guy like Cooper, I mean, there's a few things he's going to do. And if you pay attention to those things, you can force Odell Beckham to beat you. You can force Tyler Higbee to beat you. But maybe you don't let, you know, the most exciting receiver in the NFL this season run wild and free down the middle of the field and encourage Matthew Stafford to load up that cannon of an arm and make a playoff moment for all time. It seems like a bad series of decisions led to that, but I can't speak to what went on in the Buccaneers secondary room, but it's sure we can follow those breadcrumbs and figure out what probably happened. I think
it sounded like I heard the same thing you did, in the sense that not all of the defense on the same page, not everybody understanding what the play call was. Somehow it led to that sort of breakdown. Now, from an LA Ram and Ram fan point of view, At one point, this game felt like it was going to be a laugher. And you know it's Tom Brady, and everybody has that 28-3 Atlanta Falcons Super Bowl comeback, you know, with Brady in their minds. But you're sort of chuckling to yourself and thinking, well, that's not going to happen here. And then it sort of does. And so from a Ram fan perspective, the it just seems so unlikely. But the four fumbles, is this something, you know, and the kind of all those mistakes, is this something, a level of concern for the Rams as they try to move on?
It's only a concern because it happened like this, because this is not a team that has been really profligate with the ball. It hasn't been giving it away a lot. And Cam Akers had one fumble in his entire NFL career before today when he had two. Cooper Kupp doesn't fumble the ball a lot. He fumbles a few times, but he has the ball in his hands more than any receiver in the NFL, that kind of thing. So, and the bad snap that led to the fourth fumble was, it sounded like it was just Brian Allen missing a signal, and he's a Pro Bowl alternate. He's had a great season for the Rams as a center. So at some point you have to write some of that just off to, you know, circumstantial evidence. But the big problem for the Rams in turnovers has been Matthew Stafford throwing picks in the second half of the season. He threw a gang of them, and he finished with 17 on the season. But you know, he's changed his game in the playoffs. He's been extremely careful with the ball. He's been very precise with almost everything he's done. There was one or two bad throws today, but in general, he was in complete command of what's going on. So I don't think you worry about the turnovers until they prove that it's a serious problem. Having said that, they're going against a defense that has had their number all the time for 3 years. And the number, you know, you said the 27-3, you know, seemed like an insurmountable lead. Well, the thing for Rams fans is that 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, There was a 17-0 lead that they had over these San Francisco 49ers that they gave away faster than a Christmas ham. So it's like, I don't know that anybody on a Rams that was a Rams fan was thinking, oh, we're good here, because they've seen that this team can take a huge lead because they have a really gifted offense that can do a lot of things. But then they've also realized that this team can lose focus and can commit a turnover and can have a little bump or two, and all of a sudden it's gone, because that's just kind of the all or nothing mentality that the Rams have. They play a very up and down, momentum based, exciting game like that, and that's great when it's working. And when it's not, boy, is it a long night.
Now, Matthew Stafford, of course, in the trade for him, all of that getting, you know, it's the quarterback, it gets a ton of attention, but the Rams certainly have been a team, Snead, GM, not shy about trading for superstars, trading away draft picks. The other big trade, you know, acquisition this year, this season, Von Miller. And so what was Von Miller's, you know, impact on the game from your vantage point? And did that validate that move, you know, and any reaction from Von after the game?
When they first went and got him, I think there were a few raised eyebrows around the Rams, because their pass rush was already one of the best aspects of their defense. They have Aaron Donald, who's the greatest interior pass rusher in a long time. They have Leonard Floyd, who's a really good edge rusher. He's very effective, very athletic, very fired up, interesting guy to watch. They have Obo Okoronkwo, who's a solid outside rusher as well. And when they went and got Vaughn, a lot of us were like, well, they just added to the thing that they were the best at already on the defense, arguably, because this defense had an up and down first half of the year. But then Vaughn has come in. He had a little ankle problem when he first came in. At least we're told he had a little ankle problem when he first came in, and he was a little slow to adapt. And, you know, it was a tough move for him. He'd been in Denver his whole career. He was very tight in the community, very much identified himself as a Bronco. It took him a little while to get his feet and figure out what his role would be here and what he could do the best. But since then, he's just been dynamite. I mean, he's just all over the field, and he's racked up a sack in every game down the stretch. And then in addition to that, he applies pressure in a way that shows you why they thought it was a good idea to have him on one side, Leonard Floyd on the other side, and Aaron Donald, you know, wherever he ends up in the middle of the line, because it's really hard to block all three of those guys at the same time. You can do it, and you can make it easier by getting rid of the ball quickly. But to ask your quarterback to do that 53 times over a game, there's going to be some plays where he has to wait for a receiver to develop downfield, and there's three guys coming at him who are really good pass rushers. And Von Miller, not only is he becoming more and more effective as a passer, he also grades really well as a run blocker, and they're really cottoning to his leadership. He's come on as a veteran leader, as you might expect for a guy that has his resume and his credentials and what he's accomplished in this league. And he's provided a level of maturity to the defense and leadership that they always had with the leaders that they have, but it definitely helps. You can see it on the field. They look solider. They look more mature. They look more poised, and it's obviously coming out in the results. I mean, to handle Tom Brady like that and to and to beat him like that and put together a game like that, where the biggest problem with your defense was your offense giving the ball away and putting you in bad situations. I think that's a great credit to Vaughn and to all of his teammates as well.
Talking to Greg Beauchamp of the AP about the Rams, their big win against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And one player certainly that gets a lot of attention and is top of mind in these parts, Odell Beckham Jr. And what I think there are Giants fans probably split. Some were happy to see him go, but I think there are plenty that still are, you know, fans of his and rooting for him and kind of happy to see him having some success here in the playoffs. What impact has Odell Beckham Jr. had on this Rams team and, you know, all the talk of him as a teammate? I think a lot of that at times can be overblown, but how is he acclimated to the Rams?
He has fit in incredibly well, and that's obviously a surprise to a lot of us. Not that we didn't, just because there's a perception in the media that people get, and it sticks with you. And when you ask out of Cleveland in the middle of the season, that's only going to grow. But, you know, and I think when you start your career with the Giants, such a high profile franchise, you know, so many players whose fame nationally gets maybe out of proportion to their achievements sometimes just because they're in the New York spotlight. Yeah. The Jeremy Shockey factor. It's like these people become incredibly famous people, and they don't get a chance to really, you know, learn how to be a teammate in the NFL, don't learn how to be an everyday player. And Odell has come in here, and he's the number two receiver or the number three receiver, depending on the situation. And he has fit that role seamlessly because he doesn't have the weight of the world on his shoulders in New York. He doesn't have a franchise expecting him to do miracles in Cleveland. He comes into LA. It's a laid back place. We don't have the media presence, even though it's the second largest market. We don't have the daily media crush that other cities have. I worked in a bunch of cities, and it's not that there's not a lot of media. It's just not the same level of intensity and pressure on you to make everything about you. And he's come in and been able to fit in as part of a team, and he's figured out what his role can be as a complimentary receiver to Cooper Kupp. He was the biggest cheerleader for Cooper Kupp down the stretch to get the NFL records, to get the receiving triple crown, which he got. Just backing him every day, big upping him in his press conferences and everything. Just being the ideal teammate that you'd want. And all of his teammates here say that he's a great guy in the locker room. Jalen Ramsey, who was accused of being a me first guy in Jacksonville, who is clearly a leader of this defense now, and, you know, and a team leader and just an all pro. He's worked out really well here. Said it's just a thing that happens when you get to the Rams. You have to buy into the overall team concept. There's just not an ego-driven system, and guys who don't buy into it don't last very long. And they weren't naming names. So there's a couple of guys who have come in and then left who didn't fit in with the Rams, but Odell has fit in great. I mean, this may just be a one season thing because he's obviously raised his stock with the way he's played here, and the Rams may not be able to afford to keep him, but that's for another day. And for now, he is a really big contributor to what they're doing on offense. As you saw today, 6 catches, I think 69 yards. And he just plays his role, and he doesn't mind playing that role, and he'll do what they need to do. He's great in the red zone. He's great for touchdowns. And nobody on the team that we've heard of or even seen has a problem with him. He's fit in perfectly.
Yeah, he actually was very well liked by his teammates in New York. That was never really, I think, an issue for Odell Beckham Jr. Looking towards the Buccaneers for just a moment, from what you observed in postgame and following the lead up and comments and everything, any chance this is Tom Brady's last game?
I think that would be a shame. I mean, he's clearly still an elite NFL quarterback, and unless he's just tired of it, you know, I think you should play until they pull the jersey off you, as somebody once said. You know what I mean? You get this opportunity once. I saw somebody quoting Bronson Arroyo on Twitter today. I'm paraphrasing, but Bronson Arroyo came back to try one more last spring training at the end of his career because he said, you don't get this rush going to shop at the grocery store. You know what I mean? You can't get this anywhere else. You got to keep going until they take that jersey off you. So I don't have insight into what Tom's thinking and what his family's thinking and whether he, you know, wants to go out and just has had enough of this and doesn't see a lot of prospect in the Buccaneers next year. But man, it would be a shame. He's still an elite quarterback. Keep playing, man.
Yeah. And finally, in terms of looking ahead to next week, as you mentioned, I think a lot of Rams fans, there are other matchups they might have preferred, you know, even as good as Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are. I think the 49ers and that divisional rivalry and being down to a team, 17 points and giving up the lead, all of that could make them nervous. But what, you know, from a Rams give Rams fans confidence for next week. Why would this be different?
I've got the opposite. I can't pick against the Niners in that matchup. I've watched them own the Rams too many times in the last 3 years. And that's a good team, that San Francisco team. I don't know how they lost as many games as they did this year, because they've just got one OG playmaker after another on both sides of the ball, and they all seem to play their best against the Rams. You know, where the Rams got a ton of pressure on Tom Brady, they were able to cover for their weaknesses and their injuries in the secondary with that pressure. They've struggled to get effective pressure on Jimmy G. They couldn't change the game with it 2 weeks ago, just like they did in Tampa. San Francisco's O-line is better than Tampa's O-line, and if Jimmy G has enough time to throw the ball to get it to Debo and that roster of playmakers, the Niners can just cut you up all day. You know, I imagine a high-scoring game between a couple of good offenses, because I think Matthew Stafford will have another good game. But Sean McVay and the Rams are going to have to prove to me and to the whole world that they can execute and overcome this massive mental edge that the Niners have on them. I mean, they can do it, but you'd be crazy to assume that they can do it with the combined pressure of the NFC Championship game, the postseason, the chance to play in a home Super Bowl. And the Niners over there, Sean McVay's kryptonite is on the other sideline, Kyle Shanahan, you know, his friend, his coworker, former sort of, you know, Kyle was his boss. It's bad enough to lose six straight hands of poker to the same guy at the table, but it's even worse when it's your brother, you know. So I'll believe it when I see it is what I say about this matchup.
All right, that's a bit of a wet blanket for Rams fans, but I get it. And the inside perspective on it, having seen it enough times, believe it when you see it. Greg Beauchamp from the AP, appreciate the inside scoop on the Rams. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you down the road.
Anytime, Lori. Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.